Last hymn was a welcome. It's good to be here. Let's pray. Father, thank you. You are so gracious, so loving, so beautiful. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your care. We pray your blessing upon Travis and Dixie. Thank you that they are recovering. And we ask, Father, that our brother would be in the pulpit next week. Lord, we thank you that I just recently heard that the Samaritan's Purse chaplaincy program with the chaplains, they're now in Alberta, in BC. And we pray your blessing, your touch upon them as they minister your grace to needy people. We pray for an end to the war in Europe between Ukraine and Russia. We pray that you would pour lots of rain on the fires that we are experiencing. Bring an end to that, Lord. There's been a lot of suffering. We pray for the homeless situation. We pray for the housing struggles that we are facing. We pray for the health system that seems to be breaking apart. And we pray that you would, Lord, bring on the scene godly people, Lord, who love you and can be involved in solving these difficulties. We just bring these situations before your throne of grace. And Father, we also ask, now as we turn to your word, open our eyes that we may see wonderful things in your word that will strengthen us. And Father, as the author John Caywood writes, Almighty God, thy word is cast like seed into the ground. Now let the dew of heaven descend and righteous fruits abound. For Jesus' sake, amen. Jesus is not only the way and the life, he is the truth. Amen? He is the truth. Here's my outline for today's message. Jesus is the truth. Two passions, one big lie, one big battle, and two ways that we can walk in the truth. Two passions. I have two passions. One is our Creator. The other is his creation. Passion one, the Creator. If you've never found your ultimate purpose in life, it's found in Colossians 1:16, one of my favorite verses. We were created by Christ. We were created for Christ. Bill Pierce is the wonderful radio host of Night Sounds. He once commented, the greatest tragedy is not death, but a life that has failed to live the purpose for which it was designed. That's why I became a pastor, to preach Christ, the creator of everything. Passion to his creation. I also, for those of you who know me, I love the outdoors. I love creation and discovering the answers to questions about Earth, especially ecology, the way plants and animals within their habitats live and interact. For many years in elementary school, I came home with report cards that shouted, Bruce talks too much. I have a questioning mind. I've always been inquisitive. That's why I studied hard and did become a wildlife biologist, an ecologist, specializing in wildlife management. Just this past week, I came across an article on spiders. In my teens, I loved watching them weave their silky, sticky webs. I just had to Google why they never get caught in their own webs. Google I did, and I discovered that they produce a chemical, at least some spiders, they produce a chemical that coats their hairy legs, allowing them to effortlessly move across the web and missing the sticky spots. That was exciting for me, learning this new truth. So spiders don't get trapped in the web they weave, but humans do. One big lie. Outline point two. I saw it many years ago when I watched Oprah interview Lance Armstrong, a record-breaking bicyclist. Remember him? One big lie is how he described his life. Can you imagine? But the concealment of doping and the string of cover-up lies was eventually discovered. Yes, in time we get caught in the web we have woven. Numbers 32. Our sins what? Find us out. The Latin root of the word deceive literally means to ensnare, which involves misleading, exaggeration, making false promises, talking or telling people what they want to hear, leaving people to believe something other than what's true. Lying ensnares those deceived, and ultimately it traps the deceiver with dire consequences. Lance lost the trust of so many. How could he do such a thing? The better question, how could I do such a thing? Because God says this of the human race, Romans 3, their tongues practice deceit. Dishonesty seems to be a way of getting through life. Lance said he wanted to get ahead by gaining control of his life. That's pride, and pride goes before a fall, before destruction. We lie to get our way. We lie to get out of a jam. We lie to get people to like us. We deceive our husband or wife, our family, friends, co-workers, our pastor, co-worshippers, the people we want to impress, and so many more. Boyfriend, girlfriend. Author Ron Hutchcraft writes, I love this, more than we want to admit, the truth is often optional in how we do life, or at least bendable. And ultimately, we start to lose our understanding of reality. And then he says, and can't even hear our own lies. We may think that lying is no big deal, but it is to God, to whom we will answer one day. A very big deal to God. It sets God against us. Exodus 20, the ninth commandment, do not lie. On the biblical list of six things the Lord hates, lying is the only one that appears twice. And God declares that no one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. Proverbs 10. And then in Psalm 15, God says, the one who speaks truth from his heart will dwell in his sanctuary. Jesus tells us that the devil does not stand in the truth because the truth is not in him. He is a liar and the father of lies, John 8. And through his seductions and his manipulations of the truth, he begets liars. And through his sinister schemes, he begets liars everywhere. In business, education, family, media, politics, so much more. As a fallen angel, Lucifer slithered into the Garden of Eden and tempted Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit by telling what? A lie to her. And this terrible con artist has continued to do so with their children. And we continue to believe, as someone once wrote, the wretched, squalid information that is dispensed daily. Sound familiar? Now that's scary. The first time that man had to make a choice between God's truth and the devil's lie, he chose the devil's lie. That was the moment all the troubles of the world began. Our sinful nature often sides with the devil's lie instead of God's truth. Why? Because we are sinners by nature, and because God calls us sinners. We'd rather believe the devil's lies than God's truth. We are a nation of liars. We expect lying from our leaders, and they don't disappoint us, and they don't even blush. Two passions, one big lie, and now, outline point three, one battle for the truth. We are indeed, I'm sure you would agree with me, in a battle for truth. The scientist pursues truth about the physical universe. The philosopher attempts to uncover truth about human existence. The psychologist looks for truth about the human mind, how we act, how we react. At the end of life, Buddha said, I am still searching for truth. But here, in John 14, is another man, a giant among men, who appears some 2,000 years ago. He stands among his neighbors and friends and declares, I am the truth. I am the secret of all truth, all scientific truth, all psychological truth, all sociological truth, all religious truth. In John 8, we discover how Jesus is the truth. He proclaims, he declares, he asserts that truth is real and knowable, that truth can set one free from the bondage of sin, and that his teachings are the way to truth. In John 17, Jesus announces that the truth he is faithfully proclaiming is his Father's word. In John 18, he asserts that he came to demonstrate, to show the truth. And God's truth, I'm sure you would agree with me, is desperately needed today. Because one of our sons-in-law is Norwegian, I have been learning more about Norway. I have discovered that although Norway is a beautiful, friendly, and prosperous country, Norway is secular, earthly, materialistic. There once was a sign, this shocked me, above a popular pedestrian bridge in the heart of Oslo, I believe close to their parliament. The brightly lit message read, Can you imagine? Truth is flexible. A picture of how far Norwegian culture has drifted from its Christian heritage. Nearly 9 out of 10 Norwegians, I discovered, are members of a church, just like their familial ancestors have been for generations. But today, not even 1 in 10 goes to church. Although Christian traditions, as I have found out in Christian's family, are still followed. The Christian worldview is that God has spoken and that there is truth. After World War II, modernism said truth can be found by man and on his own. Now in post-modern days, the perception is that man can determine truth for his own existence. Our culture is increasingly close-minded to the idea that truth is personified in a person, Jesus Christ, and is made clear in his word, the scriptures. It's called secularism. As it has taken root and spread, many in Norway, as in Canada, as in our neighbor to the south, believe truth is what you want it to be, what feels right for you. It's flexible, but certainly not absolute. Today we have relative truth, relative morality, relative reality. Here's an example of each. You have your truth. I've got my truth, thank you very much. It may be wrong for you, but it's right for me. I am whatever I perceive myself to be. Yet when we take our last breath on earth, that thinking won't stand. Each of us steps into eternity, into one of two places. Truth is urgently needed today. We now look at outline point number 4, two ways to walk before God in the truth. This is where I want to spend more of our time. First, walk with Jesus Christ as your master, as your Lord, as your Savior. And you will know the person called the truth. And be free from sin's penalty and power. To show us the only true way to salvation and abundant eternal life, the Bible points to, and I quote from Ephesians 1, the message of truth, the gospel. It tells us that the truth, Ephesians 4, is in Jesus. That is the most important truth anyone can hear. And again, it's the reason I love to preach. Apart from Jesus Christ, there is no good news, no heaven, no help as we journey through life. Monday night, a Hawaiian senator spoke about the devastating fire in the Lahaina community of Maui that left only ashes, except for a deeply damaged, what they call a banyan tree, planted by missionaries some 150 years ago. It soars to 60 feet, covers an entire city block. The senator commented, and I quote, "Its future is uncertain, but I'm optimistic that it will bloom again, serving as a symbol of hope amid so much destruction." You know what? Christians have a tree that still stands. The cross where Jesus died. That cross is a big deal in Christian circles. Has become an anchor for many on the dark days of their life. I once read a true story showing a broken, weeping, indigenous young man named Danny hugging a rugged cross located at the head of the gravesite of his brother who had died suddenly and tragically. It seemed the cross was literally holding Danny up. The author commented, and I quote, he commented that fiery trials had burned through his life, and now it must have seemed as if everything was gone, but the tree was still standing, as it has for millions of broken people for 2,000 years, people like you, like me, end of quote. And that tree still standing is the cross, amen? It's the love of God. It's a love that is unlosable, if there's such a word. All followers of Jesus have an anchor relationship that is fireproof, disaster-proof, even death-proof. As I shared with Legion Manor last Sunday afternoon, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's God's personal guarantee to those who belong to Him. Forever loved, forever forgiven, forever safe, never alone, no fire, no tragedy, no misfortune. Nothing can take that away. I'm so grateful that when Christ died for our sins, 1 Corinthians 15, He paid for every lying thing, selfish thing, hurtful thing that I've ever done, which puts total forgiveness within our reach. A clean slate, in other words, if we'll just reach out to Jesus by turning from anything that is displeasing to Him, by trusting in Him alone, His work on the cross for eternal life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Thank you, Jesus, for making me whole. Thank you, Jesus, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. When Christ told His followers, I am the truth, He was not lying, nor was He a lunatic. He was God in human flesh, the ultimate reality and truth in the universe. Lord, in other words, I hope with all my heart that you have taken Him from the back seat of your life and put Him in the driver's seat. If He is God, if He is the truth, and He tells me to follow Him, I would be a fool not to. Resisting Satan and finding victory over sin, firstly, and rightfully so, begins by walking in the truth with Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Secondly, by abiding in Jesus' teachings and by holding ourselves to the truth in everything, we counteract Satan and triumph over sin's power. Thank you for whoever chose the hymns this morning. That's the Spirit's leading, whoever it was, because those words that we sung so fit in with this point. This morning, I hadn't planned this in my message, but this morning, I woke up at 5 a.m. with such heaviness, unlike anything I have ever experienced. I had been having this terrible, wicked dream. I got up, I began to sing, I began to pray, I began to read God's word. My reading has been in Psalm 119 the last few days. These are some of the very uplifting and comforting words I read. Trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands give me delight. Those who devise wicked schemes are near, but they are far from your law. Yet you are near, Lord, and all your commands are true. The wicked have set a snare for me. Away from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commands of my God. You are my refuge, my shield. I have put my hope in your word. Your statutes are my heritage forever, and they are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. Sustain me, Lord. Uphold me, and I will be delivered. Turn to me, have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. That peace eventually came 30 to 40 minutes after I woke up and just sensed this heaviness upon my heart. I went back to singing, knowing that the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness is what I need to continue to do. When Jesus speaks the truth, he is describing that which corresponds to reality, that which is factual, flawless, and absolute, like God's guidebook. God's book does not need to be modified, revised, or updated to accommodate a changing culture. For Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. Indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you what? Free." Think about it. Essentially, true freedom comes from believing and applying biblical truth. Sometimes I think that perhaps this is the reason the Dominican Republic seems to be better off than its close neighbor, Haiti. Again in the news this morning, with all the gangs running rampant, over 2,000 killed. In the center of the coat of arms, in the middle of the flag of the Dominican Republic, is a Bible with a golden cross above it. This is because one of the founding fathers of that country who designed its flag was inspired in his design by two verses in John 8, which in principle challenge us to continue in God's word so that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And of course, the converse, the opposite, the reverse understanding of this principle is that if we stray from what the Bible teaches, then we will find ourselves believing lies and losing freedoms. We will be bound by chains of darkness, unable to discern right from wrong. And therefore, we will be under the control of those who hate God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, Psalm 33. If we continue to push God aside, may God have mercy upon our nation. Ask God for a sensitive conscience. Lord, quickly convict my soul when I'm saying something that is less than the truth, and let me instantly correct it. That's called walking in the truth. Pray that unbelievers, and I quote from 2 Timothy, be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of what? The truth, and that they will come to their senses. Here it is, an escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. That too is walking in the truth. Pastor author Michael Brown writes, we need hearts of compassion and backbones of steel. How so true? All Christians today must boldly stand with the belt of truth buckled around their waists, Ephesians 6, and dare to expose the demonic lies that could doom us individually and as a nation, and of course to do so with much love. Lies about there being no absolute truth, particularly on issues of marriage and sexuality, gender, even the existence of God. Lies that say women's rights outweigh the rights of unborn babies. Lies that say we are basically good with no responsibility toward anyone except ourselves. Lies about this romantic idea that all religions are the same and they all reach the same God and are true. Lies about creation. Evolution leaves us with a world where there is no design, no purpose, no intended direction for anything. Things just happen. There is no firm basis for morality. There is no good. There is no evil. It is no accident that as the teaching that man came from lower animals has grown, the number of people who act like animals has grown. And then we have lies about ideology being more important than people. James 2, my dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? When news of the separation of our Prime Minister and Sophie was disclosed, it did not take long for mean and nasty people to hit social media. Talk about kicking a man when he is down. Apparently, there was no thought of the suffering family behind the announcement. This happens when ideologies become more important than people. Our heavenly mandate is to love and to pray for everyone. There are times when the very sound of Prime Minister Trudeau's voice would annoy, irritate, and even anger many, including me. If you are in that same mindset, ask for God's forgiveness, for you are doing exactly what the accuser is doing. Rather, pray that God would transform his heart. Encourage you to read 1 Kings chapter 22 this afternoon or sometime this week. It's a story involving wicked King Ahab, good King Jehoshaphat, 400 Ahab-pleasing prophets, and one God-pleasing prophet, Micaiah. In this story, you will find principles like these three that will help you to obey the ninth commandment and be true to your witness. One, don't lie for the sake of unity. Two, don't lie even if the truth hurts. Number three, don't lie even if the odds are against you. But from that passage, here's the verse. I pray the Holy Spirit will burn into your souls and into the souls of our children and grandchildren. Do you want to be a faithful witness to the truth and raise families who will stand for the truth in their generation? Then say like Micaiah, as surely as the Lord lives, I can tell Ahab only what the Lord tells me. Yes, because God has beautifully designed them, spiders don't get trapped in the web they weave. Humans do, but that does not have to be. I am so grateful that, like the psalmist, by God's grace alone since 1979, I can say, Psalm 119, verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. With the Spirit's help, I can now escape any trap Satan sets for me, because the good news is that Satan has already been decisively defeated on the cross. By the Lord Jesus Christ, Colossians 2:18, our enemy works his woe, but he knows his time as the deceiver destroyer will soon be over, Revelation 12. And he and his rebellious demons will be forever cast into the burning lake of fire. Until that time, and with God's help, let's stand on the all-powerful, never-changing truth of God's word. And let's refuse to buy into any of the enemy's wicked tactics. In Christ Jesus, our Creator, who is the truth, we are always more than conquerors, whatever the culture may throw at us. Amen. Amen.